Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. Daniel, how you doing? Looks like you're looking at your cell phone over there.
Oh, well, we could have, you know, not broken the fourth wall. You know, we're not...
Daniel, I was talking to you. That's not what breaking the fourth wall is.
Well, we're not in the same room, so I don't have to look at you. You know, I'm getting ready.
Yeah, well,
I'm getting stuff ready. I got my nut bowl, I got my Red Bull, and I was pulling up Exodus 13.
Okay. What is a nut bowl, Daniel?
It's my nut bowl I 3D printed on my wonderful show, Beating the Devil with Daniel. I'm sure none of you watched because it's usually just me talking alone. Anyhow, Adam, I'm doing great. I walked up a mountain the other day, and it was foggy, and it was scary, and cold, but I did it anyways. And I don't know. How are you doing? I got to ask you how you're doing, because I've been forgetting for 9 months now to ask.
Daniel, I'm doing fine. We hung out. We did some drinking yesterday evening.
Oh, yeah.
And I stopped myself appropriately because I wanted to be prepared for today's episode, Daniel, because we have a fantastic guest. Our friend Geneva is here. What's
hey,
up, Geneva?
Hello, guys.
How are you doing?
I am awesome. I just left my neighborhood association meeting where I was elected onto the board as treasurer.
What?
So you guys
That's
are
awesome.
In the presence of greatness.
Congratulations, Geneva.
Thank you. I am actually really excited.
That's amazing.
That's a very... Geneva, and we've all been friends for a while, and that's a very Geneva thing, because haven't you... You've been a homeowner for, like, what, 3 months now?
3 months, yeah.
Yeah, and you're already running
Audit.
Things.
That's, like, the reason I became a homeowner, was to be able to be a part of a homeowner association. Things that I dream about, you know? Just me and
That's
a bunch of
awesome.
Old people giving a shit about our parks and stuff.
I want to own a home now just so Geneva can be in charge of part of my life.
Yes, come like, to my neighborhood.
I feel like that would do me some good.
I remember being a young boy, and I don't know, you know, when you're a young boy, sometimes you got some libertarian views.
Yeah, Geneva,
sure,
you know when
all
you're a
about
young
it.
Boy.
Oh, yeah, so much about it.
But I don't own a home now, but even back then, I was even farther away from owning a home. And and I had these really idealistic views on those homeowner associations, thinking they were, you know, they're un-American.
Taxing you and taking your money and just doing, like, heathen things with
how,
it, like building parks and dams for lakes and shit.
Daniel wants his grass to be as tall as he pleases.
That's not even a neighborhood association thing. That's the fucking city. That's who you got an issue with.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they can come get you. 10 inches, I learned today. If your grass is above 10 inches, you're shit out of luck.
That's pretty tall grass, though. I mean,
that
look.
That is unnecessarily tall grass.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's just a lawn of cattails? That's what I always wanted. Instead of a porch up to my door, I just have a creek.
It's like your whole yard is just full of hedges. Like, no, my yard's hedges. Like, I have a hedge yard.
A maze going
well, out here, everyone just puts, like, succulents on their rocks because we're not allowed to have grass out here in California.
Yeah, because it's all the water. Yeah, no.
Out here, if you have grass at all, everybody's just like, what are you doing? Why do you have grass? You're so rude.
It seems pretentious. It really does. It's like, what are you doing, man? Everybody else out here is sacrificing. You got your lush lawn so you can sit your little privileged booty on the grass. While
those big wigs with their yards.
Geneva, we've been going through the story of Exodus, and God's been really mad at the Egyptians, been sending plagues. You're just in time to miss the killing of the firstborn.
Oh, man. That is such an interesting, like, chapter. It's Jesus, like, what the fuck? Flex? Not Jesus. Jesus isn't here yet. Yahweh.
Jesus is Papa.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to flex real hard about his might. It's like, I'm going to kill all the babies. Jesus.
He did it. And then Daniel and I did our first episodes in a long time where we didn't have a guest. And it was just Daniel and I, the experts we are, reading about Passover. It was
just having no idea. I don't even participate in, I barely participate in Christmas at this point.
Right.
So it's like, we're just trying.
Well, we were so excited.
That's what's so fun about this is like trying to fucking remember everything that was like indoctrinated to you growing up. And you're like, wow, they really failed because I have completely forgotten like all of it, you know? So this
or
is
they
fun.
Succeeded in sheltering you from the harsh realities of of the Bible.
Yeah.
Even though Daniel and I are so insightful that we were contacted by the New York Times, by our national public radio station to try to get license to our expert analysis of the Passover. I want to go ahead and say again that we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what anyone's culture is aside from our own, you know, Southern Christian culture. So as we continue to talk about things that are particularly of an importance to the Jewish community, please don't be mad at us.
Yes.
Yeah, this is actually, oddly enough, it was the whole Noah stuff and Joseph and everything. Like, that one seemed okay, but then we hit this and like, oh, wait. We share the story with other folks.
Every major religion. Whole Old Testament, Dan.
That's exactly right. Not even Judaism. I mean, Islam. Like, we all got the same grandpappies in all of those religions, you know?
Man, and all of those religions are descended from some fantastic adventures. A lot of them having to do with foreskin.
Yeah. Quite a bit of stuff that happens.
I'm loving it, though. There's, like, so little about the ladies. It's, like, all of this shit happening to the men, and I'm like, honestly, what a time to be a woman. Just, like, hanging back, being, like, not chosen, not mutilated. It's fine.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure there was some bad stuff going on, but I feel very forgotten, and I'm very happy about it.
What actually happens, it's something that we've learned on this podcast, is the women, they go unnamed a lot of times, but they'll just come in at some pretty pivotal moments and then drop in some just like, no, guys, do this. Or they'll no, I'm going to do this. And then they kind of change the whole story and then they continue to go on unnamed.
Yeah.
Support staff.
Like, and this, this guy's, you know, his sister, she, you know, saved the day multiple times, whatever her name was, back to Jebulon. and
You broke up a little there, Adam.
I'm sorry. I think we're having some connection issues. So if that's a problem, we'll figure it out. But in case I drop out, you can follow along reading. I'm going to read out of the New International Version, Exodus 13. But I've got some stuff from the King James Version that I highlighted that are great alternate readings. I think the King James Version is still hard to understand over audio, but after I'm done reading this thing. Yeah. So in the New International Version, Exodus 13 has a title here, Consecration of the Firstborn. And I'm gonna start reading this bad boy. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, within the month of Aviv, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. So,
oh boy, again with all the yeast. Just yikes. Driving the yeast thing home really, really hard.
What the? Why is he against yeast?
I think it's, you know, well, in Passover, you eat unleavened bread because they didn't have, I've always heard they didn't have time to let the bread rise. So you eat crackers instead because everyone's running out of Egypt. I'm not a Passover expert, but I think in this case, it's just like, make sure you have crappy bread. Yeah. So that you remember,
it shouldn't
you had
be
to eat
good.
Bread.
Yeah, exactly. That maybe that is. It's like just remembering, like even when times get good, that like you had it shit once, and I saved you. So eat the shitty bread and remember how shit your life was. That's what God was saying. Yeah,
Paulette mentioned in like Seder, there are like the bitter herbs and stuff too. That's like this represents the suffering and maybe the death of all the children. I can't remember. Paulette, feel free to put in like a producer's note at this point and correct my idiocy.
She's just going to put in a little audio clip that says, "No, Adam, figure it out yourself. There are books."
Maybe absorb some culture.
Read
your
something.
Podcast.
There's a lot of that kind of like remembering things in. Well, that happens a lot in our like in any culture. I feel like that's what you ever hear of eating black-eyed peas and on New Year's and collard greens and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I always think that's kind of like a kind of like remember the times of old, even though it's just for good luck. It's like I don't want to eat black-eyed peas right now.
What?
It's like
I love black-eyed peas. You
I
need
love
to
black
stop
eyed
it.
Peas too.
Yeah.
I love them too, but it's just like I don't want to be told to have to. You know, it's kind of like
yeah. No, that is more your issue. I can see that.
That's why Daniel still refuses to eat his vegetables.
Yeah.
I've seen him throw. He'll get a full plate. He'll put them on his plate, and then he walks over to the trash can and scoops them off.
Such a great protest. Really inspired by you.
I'm going to pick up with verse 13. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. And in the King James Version, it reads, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem."
What does he mean by redeem? Because it's like
that's
very
question.
Unclear. And I'm like, what about all the other kids? Do they not have to believe in God?
Like, I think it just means you don't have to kill your firstborn son if you do this. It's like by
Jesus
Christ.
You either kill them or you give them to God.
Yeah. You either,
those are our
you
choices.
Either break a donkey's neck or you kill your firstborn son is what I'm reading into it.
Wait, so well, you think redeem means kill?
I think redeem means you don't have to kill.
Oh.
Yeah. Like when it says up here, you are to give over to the Lord redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking.
This is bad.
So it says redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. So here's the thing: if you know donkeys are more important than lambs. Like you don't want
to
be
so you sacrifice a lamb to save the donkey.
Yeah. And so I would assume when it says redeem every firstborn among your sons, I think you're killing lambs. When a donkey is born and also when the firstborn son is born, I think you're just killing lambs anytime something comes out of a womb. You know, anytime something flies out of there, a lamb dies.
Shit, that's time what, to be a lamb.
Yeah. Like it's never good for the lambs in the Bible, actually.
No, they get a lot of like love and like the like what are they called, the like the pictures, the stained glass or whatever, but it's like no, those lambs are terrified.
Jesus was campaigning as a great shepherd, and really what he meant is he was just going to sacrifice a lot of those lambs.
Or maybe actually like Jesus came in and he's like for the lambs, so it's like a big political movement for the lambs. They like elect Jesus. He's going to stop with all the endless slaughter.
He was literally speaking to the lambs. There was no metaphor. I'm going to pick up with verse 14. "In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, with a mighty hand. Once again, that's this mighty hand. With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess, you know, alternatively, since what they're looking for is a symbol of your, you know, your devotion to God, you could just get a sweet face tattoo, get that forehead tattoo that just
saying.
Says redeemed.
Yeah. He just wants to know that you've got it clear. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't do this yourself. Big Papa came through.
Mm.
Don't ever forget.
Turns out Post Malone is the holiest of among us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what does he have on his face? He has always tired, I think, is one of his face tats. He also has a gauntlet with a morning star or on his cool tats, dude.
Wow, you know a lot about Post Malone's tattoos. This is interesting.
I might have done some Googling the other day out of curiosity.
Well, one time our good buddy Austin went as Post Malone for Halloween, and I had to do his tattoos. It was great. It was wonderful.
I've seen people photos. He did look good. Yeah, he was nailing it.
Kept being like, Austin, nobody's even going to see these dick tattoos. Like, why are you making me do these?
He's always been very method. I mean, he wants to go like all in all the time. You know that dude.
I saw my first face tattoo out in the wild the other day, and it was jarring. It's something you see on the internet, but you don't really see in real life that often, and it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of neck tattoos.
I've seen some face tattoos out here, but the other day I saw my first like young kid with face tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
He had like two face tattoos. I just felt kind of sad, you know.
Yeah.
He was like in a gas station trying to like get cigarettes and didn't have an ID, I think. And it was just like, man.
He was like, look at my tattoos. I'm old enough for face tattoos. I'm old enough for smokes. And you know what? That's a logic I can really get behind, actually. So.
Yeah, I think in order to smoke, you should have to get a face tattoo that says smoker.
I feel like you've showed your dedication enough.
Yeah, that's a safer screening method. I'm trying to figure out if I can finish. Yeah, I'm gonna read this. I have a title here before verse 17 called Crossing the Sea.
Ooh.
Which I think is a little bit of a lie. I think we have to wait for the next chapter to actually get to the meat of the sea splitting.
Right.
But I'm gonna finish out this chapter right quick. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
That's nice.
I mean, I feel like if you can be a pillar of fire, why be the pillar of cloud?
Just be the fire the whole time.
Yeah, the fire's cool.
There's some logistics here.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, you need the fire at night. It's probably hard to see during the day. But I do think that passage is nice. There's so much where you're like, God, why are you being such a dick? And then you get to the nice part where he's like, oh, I'm so dependable with my cloud and my fire. And you're like, oh, I can see why people like you. That's cool. And then we get to another mead part, and it's like, this is very emotional for me, like, dealing with, like, loving Grandpa God and, like, mean, angry, abusive Grandpa God all in, like, one chapter.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's emotional. It's, like, too close to home.
Something that stuck out to me, because we've had a question this whole time, because there's been times that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. There's times where God hardened his heart. There's just times where God kind of seemingly has like taken over free will, and he's kind of like constructing this whole Moses interaction. And I'm seeing a little something here that I think we get more information next chapter. But he says, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So he's like, he's pretty much, it seems like he's like doing, moving all these parts around and doing all these things almost like a PR move to be like, look at me, look at what I did. I got you all out of this thing so people will join up, kind of join up with the Lord. Like,
yeah, it's like a delicate balance. He doesn't want to like push them too far where they're like fighting and they're like, Jesus, the Egyptians were better than being slaughtered by the Philistines. He's like always trying to like play that game of like, I'm really good for you. Also, I'm sending you in a bad direction kind of thing. Like yeah. That free will is definitely, yeah, that's all I kept thinking about too when I was thinking about Pharaoh. I was like, is that like an argument for or against free will? I mean, because it's like, yeah, him hardening his heart is a very active, not controlled by the Pharaoh situation.
And also now they're going to use it forever as this, like, they called Pharaoh stubborn earlier. They were like, yeah. Every year, tell your kids Pharaoh was stubborn, didn't do what God told him to.
There's like one person in the back being like, I kind of feel like his heart got hardened, though. I don't know. Like, I really would never have categorized him as stubborn until God came around.
I'd like to think that God hardened Pharaoh's heart with trans fats. He just opened up at McDonald's.
Yeah, like he put it out there in front of him, and Pharaoh just couldn't resist the bait.
Also, I love that.
Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to throw in real quick. I love the idea that they scooped up Joseph's bones.
Yes.
And didn't like just put them in a sack and took them with them, I guess.
Yeah, the sacred bones.
Had a pretty sweet tomb in Egypt, considering, you know, he saved Egypt from the famine and also enslaved all these people for Egypt. Yeah. So they probably think he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. Maybe that's... Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Janima.
Oh, I was just saying, I'm just thinking about, like, the Philistines and, like, is that what they were saying, where they were trying to avoid? Yeah, Philistine country. Isn't everybody basically cousins at this point? Like, in that, like... I know you guys have done a lot of this, the old stuff where it's naming a bunch of people, you know, but it's weird to think about how like connected everybody or like the span of time that has passed since like they split off. You know what I mean? Does anybody have any sort of, I know we're not experts here, but
the science is that none of this makes any sense, like, that this doesn't line up with history at all. So it's kind of hard to tell how related everybody is.
Yeah.
But from the Bible, it does just seem like, you know, everyone in the area is, aside from the Egyptians, are descended from Abraham, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
pretty. Awkward it's family. Yeah. It's pretty much that. Because the time period from, I think, even Noah to Abraham, as far as the Bible's concerned, is enough time for, like, there to become Egyptian people and then Abraham made a bunch of people, you know, like, so it's, I think it's got, like, it had to have happened in that period, right?
Yeah,
Adam, I feel you, like you look, this you is look, a great, this is a great time to plug our email address, hostedpod@gmail.com. We have not received complaints yet, people. We have enough people listening that we should be getting complaints on the regular.
Right.
Send them over, and Daniel and I will become better people. But we're not gonna until someone complains.
I'm just saying the Egyptians showed up sometime after Noah, before Abraham. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But, like, did God put them there, or was it their God that put them there? That's like I like to think about it. Is there, like,
God
a bunch of
like
gods?
God is, up and coming God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
God is still, like, I've picked you people. I'm your God. We're going to go to battle with the other gods. And he doesn't decry, he has not yet decried other gods. So he talks about the gods of Pharaoh, and he's not like, I am the one true God. He's not that level yet. He's like, I'm your God. And I'm going to, my snake's going to eat Pharaoh's snakes.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I never really even thought about, like, there being a play for, like, the idea that there are multiple gods and that the Judeo-Christian God is just out there, like, you know, a warrior killing them all, leaving one last god.
Coming up with these ragtag desert dwellers who are basically nomadic. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Maybe all the other guys are just not as omnipotent. What is the word I'm trying to say?
Omnipotent?
Yeah, thank you. Like, he just knows. He's, like, got the agenda. He's got the long game. And he's like, avoid this area. Go this way. We'll get around it. And then we will outlive them all.
I think it's his staff.
Yeah, really, it's good staff.
It's all his staff. He's just kind of a good figurehead.
Yeah.
This chapter is the most plain chapter we've had in a while, Geneva. But I know the next chapter coming up is going to be fire. So I hope you'll join us for that one.
Oh, absolutely.
But we rate these chapters on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, unless we can find something clever to say 1 to 5 of, and we almost never do. So what would you guys rate this on a scale of 1 to 5?
I'm gonna let Daniel go first. I need some time to process.
Yeah, I can always make something up.
Yep.
I usually make it up on the spot. I think this one's fun. And some more yeast talk, some lamb killing. I like the idea of, like, if I don't have a lamb, I have to break a donkey's neck, which does not sound easy. That sounds hard, you know. You would have to do it maybe with a bat. I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and give this
I don't think that's the best way to do it, Daniel.
That's how I would do it. If I was going
to
break a donkey's neck.
Donkey pinata. He just, like, went straight to, like, donkey to bat. I see where your mind is going.
Yeah. Or you lay the donkey down somehow over a stump. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Probably.
You got to cord it before it's going to lay down with you.
I'm going to give this a 3.0 stars. Added stars. I'm choosing stars today.
I'm with Daniel. I'm going to give this a 3.0 as well. I think that's a good middle of the road for this, because I've got to remember, I'm tempted to give this one a pretty low rating, but we've had worse chapters than this. We've just come right out of the plagues, which are some of the hottest content in the B-Blay. This one deserves 3, at least for me.
I am going to give it a 4, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel like it's cool that it's got such, like, a good connection to, like, what I think of when I think of, like, the Old Testament with the Passover and everything. I think that's nice. I think it's, like, really emblematic of, like, what the Bible's all about, which is, like, I came in for you and now you serve me. You know what I mean? And so I like that. I also think that we're reading it at a timely time, because it's, like, Passover gets celebrated in the spring. And, like, I think there was something that I was reading about, like, with the time that they were, the Aviv. I don't know how you say that, Aviv. The time of the month.
Either. That's how I said it, though.
So it's, like, out of the winter months, before the summer. I think that we're just, because you guys did such a beautiful job timing this out, I know how intentional you were.
Well, we wanted to read it in the season and make sure the episode released way later.
when Passover was over? Okay, yeah. Good. Even better. I stand by my 4-point. 4 Jesus stars.
That's awesome. Nice. I think that's a good rating. So we got 2 threes and a 4. I don't do math. Geneva, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Ooh, yeah. You guys should follow my Instagram page. It's Geneva_the_diva. And I am a avid cooker, and I post lots of my, like, food that I make on my Instagram stories. I'm also only 30 followers away from having 1,000 followers, so...
Whoa, hell yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
Get that Reading Heathens bump.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, follow me, Geneva_the_diva.
Yeah. Great Instagram. Food looks tasty all the time.
Thank you.
Geneva, will you join us on our next episode to cover Exodus 14?
It would be my pleasure.
Well, in that case, I guess we'll see y'all on the next episode of Reading Heathens. Bye-bye.
Bye.